seen all of you since last year, and you look great. It's been a while. I don't know if you took the time this morning to look in the back, but in our concrete pad is gone. They ripped that out. They're coming in next week to work on the footers, and I mean, this thing is moving along. Isn't that exciting? We're going to see this thing. Yeah, amen. Yeah, that's really fun, and you know, I wanted to express, those of you that may not have heard, I just wanted to express our appreciation publicly to the Bruce Hawley family and his family for all the literally the large donations that he has given here to Southgate Church through the years. Those of you who don't know, I mean, he has personally given over $1 million here to us and the school and our ministry, just because he has believed in what we do here. And just a wonderful man of faith. He passed away this week, those of you who did not know. Whoever doesn't know, Bruce is the founder of Discount Tire. And but this morning on the papers across the, literally across the nation today, the New York Times, a bunch of papers all have his picture and the passing of Bruce Hawley. His life impacted a lot of people. A lot of people through the years, and he is just such a giving guy. So this morning, I just thought it would be a good thing if we just pray for his family, pray for the company. I mean, he is an Arizona guy. A lot of people's lives were directly connected with Bruce and his family. Our own John Arthurs, who plays the keyboard, he worked for Discount Tire for almost 30 years. Personal friends of Bruce. He just saw him a couple of weeks ago and got together with him. And the couple times that I've been up to the Discount Tire headquarters and met with Bruce, he is just such a really, really down-to-earth kind of guy. It's hard to imagine the guy's worth $6 billion. And you just come in and meet with him and sit and talk as a normal guy. And just a wonderful man. And so we just want to pray for his family today. I know they're going to miss him, his wife, just all of them, especially the company. And, you know, you just don't think about all the things that go on in a daily thing. But he was still going to work every day. So it was a surprise to everybody. He just fell asleep and didn't wake up. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're going to go, I'm in for that one. Yeah. So, well, let's just pray. Father, we do pray today, and we are grateful for the generosity and the kindness of people and those that you have literally raised up, Lord, with an incredible gift to be able to produce what he has done through the years to be a blessing to the kingdom of God and to the communities around the world. And we thank you for all of the lives that he has impacted, the dream and the vision you put in his heart. He never knew the day that he started that, and he had a heart and a desire that dream was literally going to impact people's lives the way that it has, and how many people have been changed because of the dream that he had so many years ago. Well, Father, we pray for his wife, his children, those that he talked with and was associated with each and every day. Lord, we know that their lives are forever going to miss him. We pray for the business. We just pray for all of those as they continue to move forward with Bruce's vision in that company, and what it means to all of us here, even in this state, and to our families. And we thank you for his generosity here. May the blessings that he has shared with us, may they be multiplied back unto his family and that business and company for generations and generations to come. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, I hope the service time change didn't mess you up too bad. One of the reasons that we did that, so that we could enable our first service to be more family-oriented also, so we can draw families that would choose to come to the first service and make two of them basically the same way, help us to reach more people and be able to accommodate more people as time progresses. And how many of you realize people are important to God? Amen. People are important to God, and it's our responsibility to reach them and to touch them and to help them with what plan God has for their life. And we've been able to do that in a great way, and so we just want to continue to do that in a greater way. Also, we implemented pre-service prayer, which is going to take place a half an hour before both of our services, so at 8 o'clock and at 10 o'clock, right before our service. If you want to come and you just need prayed for, If there's challenges you're going through that week and you just need somebody to pray for it, we're going to have people here to pray for you. We're going to be praying for our service and our community and different stuff before services. So please come on out and be a part of that. Take advantage of that. We want to be available for you on those days. So take advantage of that and come on out. Well, my prayer for you this year is that you would be blessed, that 2018 would be a blessing for you. Look at your neighbor and say, I enjoy blessings. Well, what does the word blessed mean? That's what we will look at. What does the word blessed mean? Well, according to many translators of the Bible, the word blessed means spiritually prosperous, happy, fortunate, and to be envied. Spiritually prosperous, happy, fortunate, and to be envied. You know, blessed is a terminology we've many times heard in many different areas. I don't know about you, but we hear that word all the time. The question we have this morning as we look at Numbers chapter 6, we're going to look at how the word blessed and another phrase work together. The Bible tells us that we are to ask God for His face to shine upon us. You know, it's an interesting phrase. God, please shine your face upon me. I mean, it's an interesting phrase. How does that phrase cooperate with the power of a blessing? You know, we use the phrase, God bless you. How many of you used the phrase, God bless you, this morning when somebody sneezed or whatever was going on, right? We use that phrase when we pray for our food. We use that phrase in connection with someone's generosity or kindness. We look back to them and we say, God bless you, or thank you, or God bless you for that. We use that phrase in a form of a prayer. We ask for God to bless people. We use that terminology in many different ways. As a matter of fact, I've heard it used in a semi-cuss word before. So people use the phrase, God bless you, in many ways. Well, this morning I want to talk about its connection with the priestly blessing found in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24. And verse 24 begins, it says this, the Lord bless you and keep you. How many of you ever heard that? The Lord bless you and keep you. You know, that's one of the things we do here at Southgate. When people have children and they want to dedicate their children to the Lord, we don't baptize them, but what we do is we bless them. We bless them, and when the parents come up and we pray for them, we pray this prayer upon them because we believe that this is a powerful prayer that applies to us even in our world. So let me read this blessing to you, and then let's look at what we can learn and apply in our day from this prayer, because that's the question. Can we apply any of this particular prayer to our life? And if we do apply that, how do we do that? How do we take this prayer and apply it to our world that you and I can experience the benefits of God's spoken word to the people of Israel that we can even apply it in our world? So let's look here at Numbers chapter 6 and beginning in verse 22. And it says this, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Well, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to take this passage of Scripture, and we're going to break down these petitions or requests, and we're going to see how those apply in our life. How do we pray this prayer for us and make it applicable in our world? So as we look at this morning, at these particular blessings that are stated, you can see that in this particular prayer, they were not asking for things that we usually consider blessings. There's not a request in here for anything material. There's no request for good health. There's no request for money. There's no request for a bigger house, a better job, better relationship. Why is that? Why is that? Some would say that having those things would be a great blessing, right? Isn't it a blessing to have a great job? Yeah, that's a blessing. Those things are blessings, and it's not wrong to have them. It's not wrong to have great health, to ask for great health. It's not wrong to ask God for a good job, a good relationship. It's not wrong to ask Him for those things. But it's interesting that the blessings mentioned here in Numbers chapter 6 are far greater than the earthly temporal blessings that many times that we can think of. Why is that? See, I believe in this prayer, in this blessing, there are several requests that if we have these special blessings, we can do without a whole lot of the other blessings. See, God is dealing with these people in priorities. And priorities. See, priorities are something you and I, as human beings, deal with every single day. Like this morning, for example, you had a priority to you this Sunday morning over whatever football game is playing right now. That is not eternal, by the way. I just thought maybe I'd let you guys know that. Whoever wins or loses isn't going to really change anything. But anyway, when you think about it, God wants to bless us. He wants you and I blessed. You made the decision this morning to get up and come to church. That's a well-deserved and an awesome priority that you made. And you think God doesn't notice that? Absolutely, He notices that. Our priorities are being challenged every single moment of every single day. Our money priority is being challenged every single moment of every single day. Where you're going to spend your money, where you're going to spend your time, where you're going to do the things that you do. Priorities are a part of our life, are they not? Amen. Yeah. You have a bill that is priority for you to pay first, right? You have this. There are many things that we choose in priorities. God is challenging people's priorities. When God gives us blessings, we need to thank Him for that. There's nothing wrong with having and enjoying the blessings of God. But God, here's the interesting thing that we're going to see. God wants to give us things, and He wants us to enjoy things. But what God wants more than anything is for us to enjoy His company, greater than the stuff that He gives us. See, I don't know about you, but as a parent, you know, when you give your children things, it's fun. You love doing it because you love your kids. You enjoy their company, hopefully. But I do. I enjoy my kids' company. I love being around my kids. So when they go, hey, Dad, can I have the yes? I mean, I'm a yes person. You know, I am. I think God's a yes person. You know, people think God is a no person. Well, I asked God and He didn't give it to me. I think God is a yes person. I think the problem is we're just asking the wrong question. We need to learn to ask the right question. We'll get yes every time. My kids come up and they know exactly what to ask. They have figured that out a long time ago. Dad, can I? Yes. You know, God loves us. But when we have our priorities all out of whack, God can't do things for us. So what we're going to see is how putting God's priorities right first opens the window for all of the other things that God wants us to enjoy. We need to enjoy them. But we see in this prayer given by Aaron the priest, we see God's heart in terms of what matters most, what priorities are important, and what they should be. We're asking the one, the only one, who is able to give us these things, that relationship with the Creator. You couldn't ask anyone on earth for this request, and they're not, because you're not going to be able to get it, because God and only God is the one that can grant it to you. As your pastor, I mean, as much as I love you and I care about you, I can't give you this. We can create an environment. We can teach you. We can give you the Word of God. But guess what? I cannot give God's presence to you. Only God can do that. Would you agree? I don't have the power to do that. We ask that from God. So that's why it starts out saying, the Lord bless you. Isn't that interesting? Aaron didn't say, I bless you. He said, the Lord bless you. And then we come to the first specific petition or request or prayer, and he says, the Lord keep you. The Lord keep you. This is a request for protection from evil, for protection from the evil one. It's interesting here as you look at the whole phrase, the Lord bless you and keep you. You see on the one hand, God is providing blessing for his people, the Lord bless you. And then on the other hand, he is saying, the Lord keep you. He's being asked to keep guard and protect us from the evil one. He wants to steal those blessings from us. How many of you realize that the devil can steal from us even after we have received something good from God? The devil can come and steal it from you. Makes me think of a passage of Scripture, a phrase that Jesus made when he told his disciples, and he was talking to them about the devil, about the evil one, and he described him as a thief. Does anybody remember a passage of Scripture that Jesus spoke that references the devil as a thief? What does it say? You remember, he said that the thief what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's right, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus tells us that the thief is there to steal. So God, what we're asking for in this blessing is to protect us and, importantly, our relationship with him so the devil doesn't steal from us. The Lord gives you his blessings and the Lord keeps you. The Lord provides protection for you from evil, from those who try to steal those blessings. You know, interestingly enough, Jesus prayed exactly the same thing. In the book of Matthew, we see the Lord's Prayer, and part of the Lord's Prayer is to keep us from the evil one. To keep us from the evil one. See, what do you think the purpose of this protection was specifically for the people of Israel? Well, I think the purpose of this protection was to keep Israel in its covenant relationship with God. To keep them from falling away, to hold them up, to sustain them, to protect them. Did they fall away? Did some of the people of Israel walk away? Did they have ups and downs all through life? Many different kings were bad, kings were good, all of these different things we see through the course of history in the Old Testament. But here's what's interesting. God did sustain him because one lineage of people is where Jesus Christ came through to enter into this world. He kept them so that Jesus could be here. Without that, we wouldn't be where we are today. We see in the Bible that God is referred to as Israel's keeper, as the Lord is our keeper. So the Bible refers to God as the Lord is our keeper. The passage that I think of when I think of being kept by the Lord is in Psalm chapter 121. I don't know if you've ever read this, but it's a very short psalm. It's only 8 verses. It's only 8 verses, and I'd like to read those to you. Listen to what it says. Some of these verses are probably familiar to some of you. Some of you, they may not be. But this is a good psalm, and it says, in verse 1, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. Have you ever heard that? Yeah. Well, the rest of it's awesome. Listen to this. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Did you know that's the same kind of thing written in Psalm 91 about his protection for us? The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That says to us that it's the Lord who keeps us. I'm going to tell you, the more I grow in Christ, the longer I have been a Christian, the longer of the challenges that I go through each and every day, I'm aware of one thing more important than anything else. I cannot keep myself. I cannot keep myself. The fact that I am to this day still a child of God is not because I have kept holding on to him. It is because he is holding on to me. I can't hold on. I can guarantee you there's only so long you can hold on to the bottom of a rope before you run out of strength and you're going to fall. But God is our keeper. No matter what happens in life, no matter the days that you go through, your ups and downs, the days that you're frustrated and, you know, whatever bad thing happened and you hate God for a little while, and you doubt God for a while, and you question all the things that we question as human beings, God still hadn't let go of you. You may think, I'm not going to do that anymore, he still hasn't let go of you. No matter what is going on in your life, he is not going to let go of you. He's the one that has to hold on to us. Listen, ultimately, your salvation, your eternity is in his hands. He's the one who has to hold on to us, not the other way around. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like, I don't even really know what that feels like. You've never come to that place in your life where you feel like I'm in a good relationship with God. Maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you know that's you, and you need the Lord today because you want him to keep you. You want to put your trust in someone else and not your own strength, because he's the one that has to be our keeper. Listen, you being kept is not dependent on you holding on to him. It's dependent on the Lord being your keeper. The Lord is holding on to you. You can't trust others to keep you. I love you, and I've been doing this as faithfully as I can for 30 years, but listen, I can't get you to heaven. So don't put your trust in me to get you there. Just because you're sitting here this morning in church doesn't get you to heaven. Don't we wish? Well, not really, because sitting in McDonald's, I don't really want to turn into a hamburger. So, no, it's not going to get you there. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is what does it. I can't do it. As much as I love you, I can't get you there. When you think about what does the word keep mean? The word to keep is a word that means to keep safe, to guard, to preserve, to hedge around something as with thorns. You know, if you didn't know, some of you that are newer, I was raised in Colorado. I was a farm kid, grew up on a ranch. And we had cows and horses and livestock and all kinds of different things that we raised there. And, you know, in the old days, well, in my world, not the old days, my kids would think that's the old days. You know, we had corrals, we had fences, metal and, you know, electric fencing and all kinds of stuff around to keep our livestock in one place. But in the old days, they didn't have access to that. So what they used was these big, huge thorn bushes. They would cut thorn bushes and they would build fences out of thorn bushes, and they would build it like a corral, and that's where they would put all their livestock. And they would close them in to keep them safe from wolves and wild animals that would come to try to take them. So the reference here is that God is putting a big hedge of thorns around you to protect you from the evil one. Can we see this same thought, this same prayer or blessing in the New Testament like we see in Numbers chapter 6, given from Aaron the priest in the Old Testament? Yes, we do. Interesting. So I want you to see something. We're going to see a parallel of the same type prayer of blessing in the New Testament that we saw in the Old Testament. We see this same thought and prayer more descriptive from our high priest, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, who is better than Aaron. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our high priest standing before God night and day on our behalf. Look at Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. It says, but now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, which is in reference to Aaron and his sons and all of that. For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. So now we see in the Old Testament Aaron blessing only the people of Israel. That blessing was available to them and the people of Israel. The New Testament, Jesus comes in and he is the high priest of God for all people. Not just for a segment of people, but for every single person that opens up their heart to become a child of God. Now he prays for us. As we come to the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 17, we see this theme of the Lord keeping us. Jesus prays as he is getting ready to go to the cross. He prays for his disciples. He prays for us. And what does he pray? Look at this. Our great high priest Jesus prays this blessing on us. The same thing. He said, the Lord keep us. But look at the detail of this in just a moment. And I gave it and put it there in your handout so you can follow along. And this is what I want to ask you to do. If you have a pen there, underline every time you see the phrase keep or kept in Jesus' prayer. This is identical. It's just more descriptive. This is a blessing he is praying on his disciples. Look at this. He says this in John 17 and beginning in verse 9. He says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now look, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except for the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Look at, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may be joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from what? The evil one. What he's saying is protect them. Don't just give them an escape route. But while they're in the evil world, put a hedge of thorns around them, protect their souls, guard their hearts, keep them from the forces of darkness that fight against them. Look in verse 16. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. Look at verse 20. This is ours. He said, I do not pray for these alone. That is just the disciples who were living at that time. Now look at this. This is for you and me. But he says, I also pray for those who believe in me through their word. Who is that? Us. Because we're believing today through the words that they spoke and have been written to us. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved them. Think about this. I don't know if you see this. Jesus prayed for me. Jesus saw me 2,000 years ago. Jesus prayed for me. He prayed for you. This prayer has traveled through time. 2,000 years of time and is still alive and effective today for those who will embrace this prayer and make it theirs. Your prayers are effective, not just for today, but for the future too. Let me ask you something. If you knew and could see that your prayers were going to touch generations to come, how would you pray differently today for them? Jesus, when he prayed this, knew this prayer was going to be written down, that it was going to be alive 2,000 years later. When he spoke this, he saw it into the future. What are you praying in the future? What are you praying for? Do we just sit and say, Lord, bless me this, bless me that, I need this, you know, blah, blah, blah. Hey, let's turn our attention to the future. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. If you were to pray a prayer for your great-grandchildren, what would it be? What would it be? Your greatest grand, I don't know how far down generations, what would you pray? God is challenging us to see further. One thing I do know is that I have been kept by the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. Another passage of the Bible that comes to mind when I think about this, and I really like it, it's found in the book of Jude, chapter 1 and verse 24, and it says this. This is a great one. It says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, other translations say the word falling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Jesus is going to present you. If God didn't keep me from falling, all I would do is fall. I'd be on my face all the time. He is able to keep me. He is able to keep you from falling. And to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Listen, faultless, not because of our good works, but because of Jesus Christ and his good works on our behalf. One of my favorite verses of all time. Listen, write this one down. I love this. one of my favorite verses of all time, and one that has sustained me through a lot of challenges, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of negative things. How many of you have ever gone through negative things in your life where you get in a situation and you just go, what in the world is going on? And you question yourself. You go, Lord, what did I do? Or you go, oh, Lord, what did I do? Right? Well, listen to this. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30. I'm going to read this in the Amplified, but you can read it in whatever you want. But remember this verse. Listen to what Jesus said. The sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never, ever, listen, by any means perish. And no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater and mightier than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. I and the Father are one in essence and nature. Do you see this? Not only does Jesus have you, but the Father has Jesus and you. You have both of them holding on to you no matter what goes on in this world. You can put your trust in God. That's the blessing that is spoken, the Lord bless you. And when the Bible says the Lord keep you, I want you to picture two hands. Jesus the Son and God the Father. How many of you would agree with me that you're probably not going to pry God's hands open? Are you safe? Amen, we're safe. Then we come to that request, or the pair of requests found in verse 25, number 6. It says, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. In that prayer for God to keep us, we see a prayer for protection. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord protect you from evil. Now we see a request for the presence of God, not just his protection, but his presence. And then he says, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. If you want to know what that means, you got to come back next week. Because I'm going to tell you, when God's face shines on you, your life changes forever. You won't think about any of the other blessings, because that one will carry you all through life. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you today that your presence is with us. And as we look at these things, as we look to the future, and we look to these requests to make your face shine upon us, to lift up your countenance upon us, help us to discover those amazing meanings. Help us to discover that reality for us so that each and every day when we wake up, no matter what challenge we face, no matter what physical infirmities, no matter the financial lack or financial blessing or good or bad, that isn't what we want. We want your presence in our lives greater than anything. Because we know when your presence is with us, when your countenance is on us, when your face has shined upon us, we lack of no good thing ever in this world. And so today, Lord, we give you praise. We thank you for being with us this morning. Pray for folks today. Pray for their week. Encourage them and strengthen them. And as we go by people that we may encounter this week who don't know you, may our light shine upon them. Let them see Jesus in us. And we give you praise. You can say amen. Amen.